Good morning, everyone. Welcome to welcome to Nidgee Community Church again. My name's Ben, and it's my joy to take us through God's Word together this morning. Again, Sam has already said we are continuing our series in the Book of Proverbs, and today we are looking at the topic of wisdom and anger. So, a question for us as we begin: put your hand up here if you get angry. There's a few hands that are still down. Good. We're all in good company then, aren't we? Anger is something we all experience, isn't it? We all experience it in different ways. We all experience it through different means. But anger is something we all experience. Now, the topic of anger is vast, so to help us really focus in on this topic, I have 4 points for us today. 4 points. The first point kind of tees us up with the question of what is anger? And then the next 2 points highlight for us some of the repetitive themes of the Proverbs on anger. And so our first point is anger and strife. And our third point is anger and slowness. And then at the end, we'll look at God's anger, with our last point being the perfect anger and God. Okay, are we all on the same page? Okay, the first point, what is anger? Now, if I was to give you a set of human emotions, okay, and I was to tell you to split them into two categories, positive emotions and negative emotions, I wonder where we would put anger. I think that all of us probably would put anger in the negative emotions category, wouldn't we? It'd be a bit strange to put it in the positive emotions category with happiness and joy. But if we were to go back to the beginning, to creation, we see that the emotion of anger is actually from God. So Adam, the first human, and so all of us after him, were made in God's image. We were made to look like God. Not physically, but our character and our attributes. So just like God is a God of love, so do we have capacity to love. Just like God is a God of kindness, so do we also have capacity to be kind. And just like God is a God of right anger, as we'll see later, so do we also have capacity to be angry. Anger was part of God's good creation. It was entirely positive. It's important we understand this because it means that there is such thing as right anger, and we as humans have capacity to have right anger. Anger which is perfectly seen in God, but if we're honest, is rarely seen in us. But since sin entered the world through Adam's disobedience, our anger is now twisted and broken. No longer do we always have right anger, but now we have capacity for sinful anger. It's why we need God's wisdom. It's why we need the wisdom of Proverbs, so that our anger might be corrected and brought under control. Now, having established that there is right and sinful anger, it would be good to look at how we distinguish between the two. But sometimes we can think, if we're honest, our anger is right and justified. And we dig a little deeper to only find that it is, in fact, sinful. And so I have 3 questions we can ask ourselves to help determine whether our anger is right or sinful. The first question, what am I truly angry at? What am I truly angry at? The second question, how does my anger show itself? How does my anger show itself? And thirdly, what is the time scale of my anger? What is the time scale of my anger? Now, a few months ago, Amy was away for the night, and so I was on Koa night watch. I came to bed around 10:30, tried to get off to sleep, and then at 11, heard the cries of Koa. Koa's crying out. So I hopped out of bed, I fed him, I put him back down again. Koa never went back to sleep that night until around 3:30 a.m. I was up and down on the night, Cole was crying, screaming, silent for some bits. And throughout it all, I got increasingly angry. I huffed and puffed, I was visibly angry, I was frustrated, I didn't know how to fix it. And towards the end of it, I shoved his bedroom door open, I grabbed him out of the cot, and swung around really quickly. I kicked the door with my pinky toe, busted it open, and took off my toenail, leaving a trail of blood in his room and in the hallway. Cole laughed at me a few moments later, which gave me peace, and I apologized to him. And finally, he went off to sleep 4.5 hours later. Now, in this story, what was I truly angry at? Well, on the surface, it might seem at Koa. My anger was directed at him, but only because he was preventing me getting what I wanted, which was a peaceful sleep. That's really what I was angry at. I wasn't getting my way. How did my anger show itself? In huffs and puffs, verbal frustration, and ultimately in rash actions which led to my harm and may have even led to my son's. What was the time scale of my anger? It was quick and near enough the whole night. Why? Because I didn't get my own way. And my sinful anger would not be satisfied until I got my way. So what are we truly angry at? Well, sinful anger has us at the center of it. And ultimately, the fact we don't get our own way. I is in the middle of sin. Right anger, alternatively, has God at the center. That his glory, his greatness, his perfection should be upheld and shown against sin. For sin is evil, injustice is wrong, and makes God angry, so it should us. How does our anger show itself? Is it in outbursts? Is it in violence, passive aggressiveness, coldness, a joke about someone that really isn't a joke? Proverbs 29:22 says, "One given to anger causes much transgression." If in the showing of our anger more sin is done, is it really right anger? Right anger, instead of pursuing more sin, pursues justice and fairness and loving discipline and even just punishment where needs be. It does not harm. It corrects and upholds balanced justice like the Lord's. And what is the time scale of our anger? Are we quick to anger? Proverbs 14:29 says, "He who has a hasty temper exalts folly, makes much of it." Being quick to anger shows that sin and our selfish desires are greater and are, in fact, the greatest. Greater than others, greater than being holy, greater than living for God's glory. And do we actually prolong our anger? Do we stew on it when we're alone, making no attempt to move away from it until justice, our version of justice, is done, and we get our own way? Right? Our anger, on the other hand, is slow and patient, not quick to make much of sin, but slow to make much of God's patient anger and his righteous ways. And right anger finds full satisfaction in God's justice and even the laws of the land where needed, not in getting our own way. What am I truly angry at? How does my anger show itself? And what is the time scale of my anger? Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and do not sin." But if we do sin with our anger, it's important we continue to understand the consequences of it, that we be warned against sinful anger. Which leads us on to our second point, anger and strife. Two of our proverbs apply to this point. Proverbs 15:18, which says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife. And Proverbs 29:22, a man of wrath stirs up strife. Now, strife is not a word we really use today. It basically means a broken, hostile, peaceless relationship. Broken, hostile, peaceless relationship. When we are angry, we bring strife to our relationships. We bring brokenness and hostility. It's like the father who comes home from work already peeved off by a colleague, only for the father to get angry at the child's noise levels and tell the child to stop. It's like the spouse who gets angry that their expectations of marriage are not being met, only to blame their spouse and take their anger out on them. It's like the church member who compares their life to another, only for them to become angry and jealous and act coldly towards that other member. It's like the family member who has a heated argument with another family member, which is left unresolved for years, leading to family breakdown. The list goes on and on and on. Anger can cause strife in a moment, like the father's burst of anger, or anger can cause prolonged strife, like the family breakdown from a long-lasting, unresolved argument. Our anger does not happen in a vacuum, in that no one else is affected. Our anger affects others deeply. Sinful anger is self-absorbed. It doesn't have the other person in mind, even of those we are closest to and love the most. But isn't it a sad thing that those closest to us, that those we have the best relationship, those we love the most, often are the ones who get the brunt of our anger? They're the ones we bring the most strife to. Philippians 2 verse 3 to 4 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Ephesians 4, 31 to 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let us be a people whose love is not directed at themselves, but at others, living to bring peace and life to our relationships, not strife by our selfish, sinful anger. From strife to life. And one of the ways we can move away from strife to life in our relationships is for our anger to be slow. So our third point, anger and slowness. Now, four of our proverbs apply to this point. And when God repeats something in the Bible multiple times, we really need to listen up. So Proverbs 14:29 says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And Proverbs 19:11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Now, usually when we come across slowness in life, it actually causes anger. Our tech is slow and buffering, and we just want to punch a hole in our computer screen. Or our food is taking longer to cook than the instructions said, and we get angrier. But here, four times, God says, let your anger be slow, even when experiencing slowness in life. Now, slowness to anger means having enduring patience. Enduring patience. Patience that is strong in the moment and lasts for a long time. Which is something easier said than done, isn't it? Hard to be slow to anger. It's hard to be patient. And yet God calls us to it. Here's the thing. Everything, and I mean everything, that God calls us to do and be like, he always helps us to do it and be like it. We can be slow to anger with all the help God gives. It's not some fairy tale, this. It's not some far-off dream. Because if you are a believer, then God is involved in changing you. And the good work he starts in you, he always brings it to completion. I want us to know that this morning, because again, it's a hard thing for us, but not an impossibility with God on our side. Now, the reason why God calls us to be slow to anger is, as we've already seen, is that sinful anger is, well, sinful, and it produces sin. James 1, 19 to 20 says, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Alternatively, being slow to anger does produce the righteousness of God, helping along the production of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 in our lives, one of which is patience. Patience is important, as we've already seen in part. We quoted Proverbs 14:29 earlier. It said that our anger can be hasty, which makes much of sin and self, instead of being slow, which makes much of God and his wisdom. But whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, as the proverb says. Being slow to anger means we patiently endure the hasty, harmful words of others, to the point we do not speak hasty, harmful words in response, but we let our words be gracious, Colossians 4:6, so that our soft answer would turn away wrath instead of our harsh words stirring up anger, Proverbs 15:1. We also quoted Proverbs 15:18 earlier, which said that a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but also that he who is slow to anger quiets contention or hostility. And Proverbs 19:11 says that one who is slow to anger is able and willing to overlook offenses done to them, not at the cost of fair justice or discipline, which can be displayed by right, enduring, patient anger, but so that life be brought to their relationships, not continued strife. Being slow to anger means we're not the cause of strife or the one who prolongs it. Rather, we bring peace and an end to the strife, even strife caused by others towards us. We patiently endure strife to in turn bring life. From strife to life. But it's not just these verses that encourage us towards slow and right anger. It's also the verses that talk of God's right anger. Anger that is forever, and I mean that word, forever slow. which is our fourth and final point, perfect anger in God. Now, several times throughout the Bible, we learn of God's right anger against sin. We mostly hear of God's anger in the Old Testament. Old Testament stories of God bringing swift judgment against sin, seeming to contradict his slowness to anger, like some of the stories of the Israelites in the wilderness, which is why many people view the God of the Old Testament as angry and the God of the New Testament as loving. But God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, as it says in Hebrews 13:8. God has always been loving, just as God still hates sin and is angered by it even now, always bringing judgment at the right time. But when it's time to punish sin, God doesn't wait around. Yet the build-up to that point is always slow. But God truly is slow to anger, so amazingly slow. In Exodus 34, we see God declare to Moses who he is. He comes down in a cloud and proclaims what he is like. He says in verse 6, the Lord, a God merciful, a God merciful and gracious, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger. In essence, these are the top three things God wants us to know about him. Beside his name, Lord, and that he's. But one of the three things is his slowness to anger. I wonder if we were to describe God in three words. I wonder if we would use slow to anger. God does. Slowness to even right anger. Not sinful anger. Slowness to even right anger. Slowness to fully justified anger that he has every right to have and bring upon us as punishment. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, God has been patient with us humans. For our whole lives, as individuals, God has been patient towards us. He patiently endures our failings, our flaws, our weaknesses, and our sin. I mean, think about it. He continues to sustain our beating hearts, even when our hearts don't beat for him, but beat for sin. Even when we are sinning against him, he keeps us alive. But one day, when our lives are done and the time is right, God will bring judgment upon sin. Yet not only will he bring judgment, he has already brought judgment. What is the remedy to our sinful anger? God's anger. His slowness to anger as he patiently bears with our sin, not dealing with us according to our sin. Instead, in his patience, he deals with us according to his mercy, not getting what we deserve in death and punishment for sin, for he is merciful. And according to his grace, getting what we don't deserve, the blessing of his fatherhood, his friendship, his spirit within us, life and hope, for he is also gracious. And God can do all of this because while we were still weak, at the right time, when judgment would be shown, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5, 6. God has dealt with Jesus on the cross according to our sins. God's anger against sin is present and clearly seen in the New Testament, not primarily towards sinners, but towards his Son, Jesus. Not only is his anger so slow, but his anger is directed towards another. It is God punishing God in the person of Jesus Christ. It is God crushing his Son under the weight of his great anger against the greatness of our sin. Picture this with me as we end. Stand in the dock of a courtroom. Stand in the dock of a courtroom. Handcuffs around your wrists. Thoughts of all your crimes, all your sin, all your wrong flood your mind. The weight of your wrong weighs you down heavy. You hang your head in shame. You know what's coming. I mean, it's clear to even you. You're not going to this place saying, yeah, I didn't do it. You know you've done it. You know the crimes you've done. You're ready for the judge to pass sentence. The judge, he swings down his gavel and says, you are guilty. Life sentence, solitary confinement, no way of getting out early, you're done. Or if we were in the States, death sentence. You're done. You are done. And you wait for the officers who are beside you to place their hand on your shoulder and lead you away. But here's the thing, it never comes. You look up at the judge, wondering what's going on. You look up at the judge, he places his gavel on the table. He takes off his robe. He steps down from his seat. He walks up to you. He opens the dock door. He takes the key to the handcuffs. He unlocks them and he escorts you out. He then goes into the dock. He shuts the door. He puts the handcuffs on his wrist. He locks them tight. And he looks at you and he says, I am guilty. I am guilty in your place. I will bear the punishment you deserve. You are free. Not free to go on living the way you want, how you want to, in the timings that you want. But free to go and live rightly. The officers put their hands on his shoulders and lead him away. Nidri, that is what Jesus has done for us. For you, the judge of all the universe takes his own judgment in our place. So we can be free of punishment, free to enjoy his blessings, and free with God's help to live rightly, in a way pleasing to him. Only if you're a believer here today. If not, then the wrath of God remains on you, John 3:36, and will come upon you one day in hell forever. Please hear me when I say I don't talk of God's wrath against you to scare you into submission, but so that you see, so that we all see just how great God's anger is towards sin. And we see how evil our sin is against a holy, perfect God. So that we then all look at Jesus. Look at Jesus and see how amazing he is. And that what he's done is so wonderfully great that he would do that for you and for me. God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. Romans 2:4. A change of direction from sin and sinful anger to righteousness, slowness, and right anger. So may we all this day turn from sinful anger to our Savior, who offers forgiveness for it, help to overcome it, and grace to be slow and right in our anger. May God help us.